My Daughter, My Mother, written by Annie Murray, read by Penelope Freeman. May to July 1984. Chapter 1. May 1984.
Are you going in then, or what?
Joanne jumped, her heart pounding in the violent way it kept doing these days. She'd not heard the woman coming up behind her, the wheels of her child's buggy gliding across the dark green lino. In a moment of panic, she realised she could also not remember anything about how she got here herself, how she came to be peering through the reinforced glass window in the door of the church hall, her hand gripping the handle of Amy's buggy. Had she been here long? She'd no idea. The woman behind her was white-faced and plump, with jaw-length hair. She wore glasses in big red frames and a baggy purple T-shirt over a long denim skirt. In the buggy, a dark-haired boy of about 2 was wrestling to get out.
"Well, sorry. Yes, I'm going in."
Joanne pushed the door open. Sounds blared out. The hall was strewn with toys and chaotic with the movements of small children. Some were pursued by their mothers, while other women stood talking in clusters at the edges. The first time Joanne had come, a fortnight ago, she'd had to miss it last week, the state she was in. She had mistaken the time, come just after 10, and found the hall almost empty. Only Tess was there, the woman who ran the group, carrying toys from the storage cupboard at the back and arranging them round the hall while her little boy ran up and down. It was Tess who had given Joanne the courage to come back to the toddler group. Tess was freckly-faced with curly, straw-coloured hair tied up in a ponytail, and had a kind, friendly way about her. She was carrying 6 months of pregnancy around in a pair of bleached denim dungarees with a bright orange T-shirt underneath and purple desert boots. She'd seemed to sense how nervous Joanne was and spoke gently to her.
"It can be quite hard at first," she said, then laughed. "As if everything about being a mother isn't hard at first. But I sometimes tell people it might be better not to come until their children are already sitting up. Your little one's already on her feet, though, isn't she? So that's fine."
She'd smiled at Amy, who was in her buggy, sucking on a bottle of juice and watching everything with her huge blue eyes.
"She's beautiful," she said warmly.
This kindness brought Joanne close to tears. She'd felt a kind of adoration for Tess from that moment. Together they set up the rest of the room, and it had felt good to be involved. She'd wanted to come back last week, but her mouth had been so swollen, and the cut he had given her kept splitting open. She'd been too ashamed to go out. Today, though, it was already in full swing, all the toys in use, a corner for painting, another for Play-Doh, made at home by Tess, and even a little plastic pool on a table for water play. Amy was squeaking with excitement.
"Out,"
she insisted, tugging at the straps. Joanne was glad to have Amy to deal with, as she felt shy and awkward among the other women. Some of them seemed so confident, as if they'd been mothers all their lives. Unstrapping Amy, she kissed the top of her head, feeling her warmth through the cap of blonde hair. But Amy was in a hurry and jerked her head, banging against Joanne's lip, where it had almost healed, so that her eyes filled. Faintly, she tasted blood again. For a second it felt unbearable, like the last straw. Amy headed straight for the painting table where one of the helpers, a cheerful young woman called Mavis, put a plastic overall on her.
"There you go, love. You can go and paint your masterpiece now, can't you?"
she said in warm Jamaican Brummy.
"Thanks," Joanne mumbled.
Amy looked lovely in the bright yellow overall. She had met Mavis last time.
"She's loving it, isn't she?"
Mavis observed. She stood watching Amy, her arms folded, neat in a short-sleeved grey top and black skirt. Round her neck she wore a little gold cross on a chain. Mavis must have been younger than Joanne, only about 18, but she seemed very mature. And Mavis was the sort of person, beside whose neat slenderness, smooth brown skin and tidy, clinging hair, Joanne felt like a wayward scarecrow. Joanne was quite tall, at 5'7", thin and